For the past two Lord's Days, we've been studying from 1 Kings chapter 13. And we noted that the prophet of God, the man of God, sent to King Jeroboam, who was over the 10 northern tribes. Yes, he was given a warning. And we noted in verses 1 and 2, behold the goodness and the severity of God. And then in verses 3 through 6, we learned the word of God is confirmed. Three signs were given to King Jeroboam. This is the revelation of God. But unfortunately, Jeroboam chose his way rather than God's way. As we looked at verses 7 through 10, we learned, buy the truth and sell it not. The prophet of God, he knew what God had commanded him, do not eat or drink in Bethel. And so he refused the invitation that King Jeroboam gave him to come home with him and be refreshed. So we were thankful for that. But then last Lord's Day, we were looking at verses 11 through 22. As we noted, the truth never changes. Well, instead of leaving the area of Bethel as soon as possible, he sat down under an oak tree, which gave the old prophet there in Bethel time to catch up with him. And thus he gave him an invitation, saying, notice verse 18, an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thy house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drink water. And so God, through this older prophet, told the younger prophet, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hath eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come into the sepulcher of thy fathers. How sad. But that's where we left off last Lord's Day. And so today we want to pick back up with verse 23 and learn some more lessons from the Word of God here in 1 Kings chapter 13. So we'll pick back up in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street in Martinsville. Yes, we're still practicing safe measures. We want to invite you to join in with us as we study God's precious word in our Bible classes, and then as we assemble to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude in spirit, but also in truth, that is according to the New Testament pattern. And you would be very much welcome to join in with us. Something else to mention, we're always glad to have Bible studies with anyone. And of course, your Bible questions are welcome, your comments as well, positive or negative. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code, or our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027. And I'm glad to report that our website is back running normally, having been maintenanced, and so the radio sermons are accessible now. So let's get into our study, or get back to our study, better to say, from 1 Kings chapter 13, we're picking back up with verse 23, and we'll note, and it came to pass, after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that is the younger prophet, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lions standing by the carcass, and they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that had brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto him. And he spake to his son, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. And the lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet looked up the carcass of the man of, the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass after he had buried him that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria shall surely come to pass. Now, as we study this section of 1 Kings chapter 13, perhaps this would make a good title, God's ways are higher than man's ways. In other words, God is always right. Now, some people have a problem with the punishment of death, which God gave to the younger prophet, who believed a lie. But death was not given, this death sentence was not given to the old prophet who told the lie. And so some have stated they have a problem with that. Well, again, we refer to Isaiah chapter 55, verses 7 through 9. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Note, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, did we all get that? Well, we should. And we should honor it, realizing God is always right. And whether we understand something or not, we need to stay with our focus that God is perfect. And thus, God's always right in his actions and in his word. And so here in our study this morning is a very important lesson. Yes, it's eternally important, from chapter 13. And it's this: believing a lie in many cases causes one to lose one's soul for eternity. That's right. Now, let's consider several major cases in order to prove it, involving massive numbers of people who continue believing a lie, which prevents them from accepting God's word as truth. And you should probably guess what I'm going to now talk about, because it's taught in our schools, the hypothesis of general evolution. Yes, it's not really even a theory. It's just a hypothesis. It's been proposed. And it says that man evolved from one cell, a one-cell organism, an amoeba, and thus going through many stages, of the animal kingdom over a vast period of time, and they would want to say millions, maybe even billions of years until man appeared. And this lie, yes, this lie is taught as fact in the majority of our public schools, state universities, and in many of our private schools, universities, and colleges. And how many young people have left the true church because they believed this lie? Yes, you see the importance of our lesson here today. God's ways are higher than man's ways, and God is always right. And the importance here of our study is not to believe a lie. And certainly this is a major lie that's told and being told for how many years? Having been told for years and years and years. And so many people will lose their soul because they believe this lie. It's not true. We're not evolved from lower species. We're created in the image of God. In Genesis 1:26, God breathed in the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He didn't evolve, and so that's a lie when people teach evolution as a fact. Of course it's a lie. But something else, the false philosophies of postmodernism and now progressive revelation, as we talked about last week, denying absolute objective truth. They're lying about the definition of truth. And this lie is currently very attractive to those practicing immoral behavior. Yes. And how many, again, will lose their soul because they believe it? And something else, we could give another example. Faith only is taught by countless religious groups and even some in the churches of Christ, despite many clear, very clear passages in God's Word refuting this false doctrine. They want to say that works is not involved at all. By faith only. Well, the Bible says faith only is a dead faith. James 2:24, study that. Yes, the truth is that we must do works of righteousness, not works of merit. That's what's eliminated in Ephesians 2:8-9. Yes, we're not saved by works of merit, lest any man should boast. We can't earn the death of Christ, but we certainly need to respond to the gift of God. Yes, His grace is wonderful, amazing grace. It's certainly that. But in order to receive it, we have to do something, and that is obey the gospel. So we're going to not only believe, that's faith, yes, but it's a working faith as we repent and confess and be baptized and continue to add to Christian graces and serve God faithfully even unto death. And so there's righteousness involved here. Yes, works, but there are works of righteousness. And let's not forget that. But here's another example of people believing a lie. Premillennialism. Difficult to say it even. In some form or another, this false teaching is taught by many denominational churches. And what they're advocating is that God failed in establishing His earthly kingdom. Jesus came to establish a physical kingdom, they say, and wasn't able to do so. Well, back up. It's a lie. God never fails. Period. God never fails. He established His spiritual kingdom. He never intended to establish a physical kingdom to save the souls of man. No, it's going to be through the church of Christ, which Jesus bled for, purchasing it with His precious blood. dying for the church to be established. And note, as we go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where? In Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. In Christ, in the church. That's the plan of God before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Go to chapter 3, still in Ephesians, verses 10 and 11. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Here it is, showing God's wisdom. The church is there. According, notice, to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's not plan B, that's the eternal purpose, to establish the spiritual kingdom, the church of Christ. And we need to stay with the truth. And how many false teachers are telling such lies, which will cause those who continue to believing there to believe these lies, it's going to cost them what? Their soul for eternity if they die in this situation of not accepting God's word, the truth, and obeying the gospel and living faithfully even unto death, even if it means dying for the cause of Christ. You see how sad this situation is. And so the important lesson that we're looking at here is believing a lie, like this young prophet of God, this man of God, believed the lie of the older prophet, and it cost him his life. And yes, the older prophet was not struck dead, but this is the lesson. God is always right in his actions and in his word, as his ways are higher than man's ways, and God is always right. We must never forget that. And we have a responsibility, brethren, in the Lord's church, to refute these lies, to defend the truth. Philippians 1:7, like Paul, yes, he was set in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Yes, we need to be likewise. And we need to be proclaiming the gospel of Christ, as the Great Commission tells us, to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We need to be preaching and teaching the truth. Yes, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Now let me make this statement. All preachers can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. Now we better accept that, because it's true. Bob Hawkins can be wrong, but the Bible is always right. So let's always search the scriptures. How often? Daily, to be sure that we are being taught the truth. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures, here it is, daily, whether those things were so, Acts 17:11. Now, let's continue our study and finish out chapter 13 of 1 Kings, verses 33 and 34. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would he consecrate him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. So the evil reign of King Jeroboam and the lie which was told by the old prophet did not prevent God's will from being fulfilled. Thus, our lesson here, God has the final word. You know, it's very arrogant and foolish for a mere man to think that he knows better than his Creator. Now, would we not all agree with that? We better. Romans 9, let's look at Romans 9, 20 and 21. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Now some people do that, sad to say. But note, hath not the potter power over the clay and of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? Trust God. Submit to God's will. All of us, no matter how many do not, don't go along with the multitude down through the wide gate and down the broad way that's going to end up where? In hell. Is that the place to be for eternity? We better be thinking about eternity and not just for the moment. Remember Satan's lie, ye shall not surely die, was believed by Eve, but God had the final word. As Adam and Eve died spiritually and they later died physically, did they not? Genesis 3, 4, 23 and 24, and chapter 6, verse 5. Countless souls down through the years have fallen prey to Satan's lies concerning eternal punishment in the fires of hell. But God's word is final. And God has that final word, does he not? Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. It's going to turn out like God said it would. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. That's right. It's going to happen just like God said it would. We'll reap what we sow. So what are we sowing? Are we sowing to the flesh or to the Spirit? Making a choice between reaping corruption or reaping life everlasting should not be difficult for anyone who's accountable before God. So what choice have we made? You know, sometimes man makes bold claims, not realizing that God has the final say. God has the final word. And unless we have knowledge of what God has said in his holy word, we do not have the final word. Notice Joseph's brother sold him into slavery, but God had the final word. He delivered Joseph. Study Acts 7, 9 through 10. And another example, the rich farmer, he made a bold claim about how he was going to build bigger barns and so forth. About all that he was going to do, but God had the final word. Study Luke 12, 16 through 21. He died before he did all he claimed he was going to do. And then another example, the Jewish religious leaders desired to bury Jesus for good, but God had the final word when he raised him from the dead, as we study Acts 13, 27 through 30. And so on the great day of judgment, how many souls will hear the Lord's final word? Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25, 41. This is serious, isn't it? We don't want to hear those words, the last words the Lord will say to us before him on that great judgment day. That's the final word. And that's not what we want to hear, so we better be preparing for eternity now. Going into the fires of hell with the Lord's final word forever implanted into the memory of all the lost souls who failed to obey God while living upon the earth is not something to take lightly. And thus, Have we applied what we have studied the past three Lord's days from this inspired chapter, as all the chapters are inspired in the Word of God? Remember, God said not to eat or drink in Bethel, but the young prophet disobeyed God when he believed a lie. And so let us understand the phrase "God said" is of eternal importance to every accountable soul. And when the Creator of all things speak, we who have been created in the image of God should be good listeners, doers of his word, not hearers only. And when God says not to do something, then obey the negative commands as well as the positive. James 1, 22 through 25. How does God speak to us? Through his written word, the Holy Bible. If we're not studying God's word, we're not being good listeners. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as members of the Lord's church, let's apply these great lessons to our lives to better serve God and bring glory to his most holy name. And if we're not a faithful member, or we have not even obeyed the gospel, then we're not prepared for eternity. And what's more important than preparing for eternity? And so we're ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, studying together, and learning what the Bible says we must do. We've got to hear the truth, Romans 10, 17. That's how our faith comes. We've got to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, John 8, 24. Then after we believe Jesus is the Christ, dying for our sins, we're motivated to repent. Here's where we're changing our way of life. We're leaving a life of sin. Now we're ready to submit to God's will, Acts 17, 30 and 31. And now we're ready to make the good confession. It's unto salvation, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And we want to be sure that we're ready to confess Christ before salvation, but also continuing to confess him the rest of our life. And then after the good confession, we're ready to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 2:38. Here's where we're contacting the precious blood of Christ that washes away our sins. As Ananias told Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." Yes, in Acts 22:16. We must be faithful after being baptized, continuing in the faith, walking in the light as he is in the light, adding the Christian graces, growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, and defending the faith, standing up for what's right, no matter how many do not. And we will have the victory as we live faithfully unto death, even if we're to die for the cause of Christ, Revelation 2:10. We'll receive that crown of life by the Lord himself. And we'll not hear those words, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire." No, we'll hear, "Enter into the joys of thy reward, thy good and faithful servant." And we thank you so much for listening today.